Every time it rains pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven? You'll find your fortunes falling all over the town. Be sure that your umbrella is upside down. Trade them for a package of sunshine and flowers. If you want the things you love, you must have showers. So when you hear it thunder, don't run under a tree. There'll be pennies from heaven for you and me.
You're listening to Solidarity Spokane, KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM, Thin Air Community Radio. I'm your host, Kat. We'll be right back after a few short words from Frank Sinatra.
Pennies from heaven. Don't you know every cloud contains lots of pennies from heaven? You'll find your fortune falling, baby, all over the town. Be sure that your umbrella is upside down. Trade them for a package of sunshine and flowers. If you want the things you love, you've got to have showers. So when you hear it thunder, don't run under a tree. There'll be pennies from heaven for you and me.
That was Pennies from Heaven by Frank Sinatra and Count Basie, a timeless classic. You've reached Solidarity Spokane. I'm your host, Kat. It is good to talk to you all again after a long, long week. As the days grow shorter and the weather gets a little colder, I hope everybody's enjoying those last few days of sunshine. Saddle up. We in the North know how to weather our winters. And for anyone that is from out of town, I do hope that you brought a jacket. If not, quickly run and grab one as soon as humanly possible. Welcome to the show. Today, I am very, very excited to welcome an old friend, Sarah Dahman, on the show. She is here speaking to us from the Spokane Media Federal Credit Union. She is the chief executive officer over there. She's going to be speaking to us about her organization and her work in financial services and talk a little bit about what they do in our community. And I'm very, very excited to have her. Just to start us off, we're going to do our land acknowledgement. I got a little bit of news on the WGA strike, and I have a little bit of news on the UAW strike. So, as always, we broadcast acknowledging that we are on the ancestral lands of the Spokane Tribe of Indians and a multitude of tribes who are connected through shared history of trade, celebration, and resources. We make this acknowledgement to pay respects to their elders past and present, whose knowledge remains on this land. Please take a moment to consider the many, many legacies of violence, displacement, migration, and settlement that bring us together today. Join our community as we continue to learn about these truths that we may take direct action in solidarity with Native people towards restorative justice. Well, Truth Out News reporting that after nearly 150 days on strike, the Writers Guild of America reached a tentative contract deal Sunday night. This news is very fresh. With Hollywood studios that reportedly contain significant victories for screenwriters, including compensation boosts for streamed content and rules restricting the use of artificial intelligence. Listeners may remember that one of the primary reasons that these writers were going on strike in the first place has been the drastic change in media formatting, which we'll be talking about with Sarah later in the program, and the compensation and contracts were decades old and did not reflect the kind of compensation that made these livable jobs and, in effect, turned writers into gig workers. Now, there has been some debate as to whether or not that is accurate. Some of our listeners might have noticed prominent members of the community, including Drew Barrymore and Bill Maher, not standing in solidarity with the workers but choosing to proceed with their show anyway. I will leave those particular performers and their public representatives to make a statement on that, which you're free to go and look to. But we don't necessarily look too kindly at that on Solidarity Spokane, where the principal goal and aim is to better the conditions of our work by standing in solidarity and unison with one another. Now, the WGA, after 150 long and grueling days, has been striking and picketing, and they are not announcing details of the contract yet. And we have to stand patiently and wait for those details to be released, as disclosure of those details could prove harmful to the negotiating process. Now, whether or not the SAG-AFTRA members the WGA writers, rather, will stand with the SAG-AFTRA writers who are still currently on strike remains to be seen. But hopefully we would see that that solidarity and cooperation between these groups of workers. We are always stronger together, but we shall wait and see. And I'm sure the leadership from those organizations are in talks and doing everything that is equitable and right for everyone considered. These are difficult things, and we have workers and their families who are just skirting by right now and who don't have work. So I will leave it to them to decide what is best in this circumstance. So news from there. And then we also have a short word from Bernie Sanders speaking what we covered on the show last week, speaking about the UAW strike. Now, this is the first time that the United Auto Workers has struck the big three, the big three auto producers. Now, they have gone on strike in the past to win concessions, but since the economic downturn of 08, workers made deep, deep concessions in their contracts to keep those companies alive. The argument was, the CEOs made, that we have to survive this economic downturn and we're in danger of going under, and that would be economic catastrophe for the United States if auto workers went under. So we gave them billions and billions of dollars. They spent billions and billions of dollars in stock buybacks, took away workers' cost of living adjustments, and shuttered many, many factories in that time. There is an interesting documentary, which you can find, I believe it was on Netflix a little while ago, called American Factory. If you want to see some of the direct impact that had on the Rust Belt, you can seek that out. It talked a great deal about what happened to workers in those communities who lost jobs that were paying $27 an hour in the Rust Belt, which back in 08 was very, very good money, and ended up having to settle for jobs that were paying $10, $12 an hour. And so it's understandable why the Midwest acted the way it did in several elections following that. But I digress, and I'm going on and on. Here is a word that Bernie Sanders shared on MSNBC regarding the current situation just this weekend. Have a listen.
Expansion in the United States, CEOs made about 20 times what their typical workers made. But as I noted to you, the CEO of GM makes 362 times what her typical employees make. I just want to make sure I get an answer from you. Is that okay? Do you think that's fair?
Well, I think that ought to be left to the shareholders of that company. I'm somebody that believes in free enterprise.
I think those are decisions
that can be made by shareholders and creating pressure, and I'll fully support how these publicly traded companies operate.
No, I strongly disagree. I think what's going on in America today in terms of income and wealth inequality, the fact that CEOs are now making 400 times more than their average worker, the fact that we have three people on top who own more wealth than the bottom half of America, the fact that during the last 50 years, the wages, the weekly wages of the average American worker are lower today than they were back then, speaks to the anger that the American people are feeling and what this strike is about. The American people are sick and tired, in my view, Jake, and I've been all over this country. They are sick and tired of corporate greed, in which the very richest people are becoming richer. The head of General Motors now makes $29 million a year. And yet if you're a new worker in the big three, you make less than $17 an hour.
And I got to tell you, I don't think it's about the usual fault lines of the difference in salaries between white collar and blue collar.
They have temp workers who are temp year after year after year who make far lower wages than other workers. You have profits there, $21 billion in profits in the first half of this year. So what you're seeing in the automobile industry, in my view, is what we're seeing all over this economy. Greed on the top, suffering on the part of the working class, and people are tired of it.
As we continue to move through this strike and we continue to watch the developments, it's important to pay attention in popular media to the voices that are representing each side. Now, the former Vice President Mike Pence there giving a very sterile and common answer that you hear when a politician is going to side with business. They're going to use trigger words like free enterprise, and they're going to say, I trust the companies to make the decision that is best for them. But what you have to pay attention to are the real working voices on the ground, which Bernie has understood for decades now. And we can all be grateful for his voice at a time like this when he is still beating the drum and reminding us that what matters are the jobs that these companies produce and create for our economy. Because when regular workers do better, all of us do better. And I just wanted to make sure that that was shared and that we had an opportunity to recognize the solidarity with the UAW as that strike continues to progress. Now that we have taken care of the news, I would like to introduce everybody to our wonderful guest, Sarah Dahman. Hello, Sarah. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm glad to be here. Kat.
Thank you for having me.
Is that your official name, Kat? It's not Mr. Kat or...
No, not Mr. Kat. Mr. Kat is my father.
Oh,
he's a lot grumpier and he's on his last life, unfortunately.
Yeah, in the 16 to 18 year range, maybe, hopefully pushing 20.
He's actually 21.
All right.
Yeah, he's had great veterinary care.
Oh, lovely. That's so great. We're a cat-loving household all around. So we've got two cats in our house and we proudly share pictures of them with our friends and family and people who don't even want to see them. So
And that's what you do.
That's what you do.
I'm that person who on the bus or anywhere that I am, I'm like, oh, you like cats. Would you like to see a picture? Too bad. You're going to see it anyway.
Here's my fur baby.
What are their names?
We have Topher and Pixel.
Oh my goodness. I love those names.
Yes, they're good names. Well, we actually usually adopt from Partners for Pets. And so shout out to Partners for Pets because they do a really lovely job of placing cats with homes. And if you find it's not a good fit, you can take them back. It's kind of a no shame situation. And I think we got Topher. We like to say he's a dog cat. And he's like, you went to the cat store and got a dog. And they tell the story. It was with this old lady for about a week and got returned. And then we got him. And every time he does something like a dog, we say he would have never made it with the old lady. So they're just a wonderful organization. We love them. So.
And that's really funny you say that because they were our guests last week.
Were they really?
They were.
That's
they
perfect.
We had two great ladies come on from them. And so Partners for Pets getting a lot of traction.
I know, a lot
show.
Of love.
A
so
lot of love.
Topher and Pixel came with the names and we loved them too.
Well, another shout out to Partners for Pets, friends. Go check them out.
Mm-hmm.
But today we're here talking about your work.
Yes.
You've worked in financial services for 19 years, and you are also an avid participant in the local theater and film community, which is really what brought you to your present position at Spokane Media Federal Credit Union.
That's the truth. I started in financial services right out of college in 2004, and I had graduated from Eastern Washington University with a degree in communications, organizational communications.
Go Eags.
Yeah, go Eags. The reality was, though, I had no idea what I was going to do with my life or my profession. I grew up in a pretty precarious financial situation. I lived in every trailer park up and down Highway 2. I made sure most people in my circles did not know that. And I really tried to, our family story is really, I think, inspirational too, because of what my mom was able to do through getting access to education as I was growing up and then taking care of herself. And then I went to college and we got to just kind of write this new story while I was launching into the adult world. And I had a great family contact that got me a job at a wealth management firm, small company here, locally owned, and I worked there for 15 years. And so I started at the front desk doing part-time work, and that was in 2004. Mm-hmm. Did that for a few years. They were very gracious. I said, I want to be increasingly more valuable to this company. I think I said that like 6 months in. I was like 24, like I'm going to talk big, right?
Right, right.
And they took me up on it. They helped me get my securities licenses. I was a portfolio manager. You mentioned 2008. I was trading in the market for them, working with clients to help them stay calm and stay invested and navigate the Great Recession, which was just unprecedented. And here I was 28 years old at that time. Mm-hmm. So trading in the market every day, working with the clientele there. And after 2008, the regulatory environment for brokers and registered investment advisors just changed profoundly. Dodd-Frank and a lot of other, you know, Bernie Madoff, there's another good Netflix series, changed the landscape from a legal perspective for a lot of these institutions. So I became a chief compliance officer for about 10 years and stayed with that company, but was on their investment committee, raised up some wonderful portfolio managers, and they're still here in Spokane today. I only left there because I really wanted to continue my C-suite career, and I had to kind of move up and out in that way, but still great friendships, relationships there, and went to another outfit that was insurance. So whole life insurance, term life insurance, but also had an insurance arm that worked with employers about their benefits. So the group plans for medical, dental, vision, disability, you know, all of those different types of products. So from working on 401ks with employers to then all of these other benefits that workers really need and are important to being a comprehensive package, financial package.
Of course.
You know, I added that for another 4 years as a chief operating officer. So yeah, 2024, that'll be 20 years. That certainly dates me, doesn't it? But it's a really rewarding career. I certainly didn't seek it out. Like you said, I love theater. I always thought maybe I'll be an actor or maybe I'll, but I think growing up in the precarious financial situation I had, I was day job first. And I was really fortunate to get into financial services at good companies, build a career in service to people and helping, for most of my career, helping those who have money keep their money and accumulate more wealth. Mm-hmm. So that maybe will be a little indicator of what has changed in my most recent position is not necessarily focusing on helping people keep their wealth and expand their wealth. But it has been a really good career path. And now I'm the CEO for Spokane Media Federal Credit Union. And I started there this year, which has been a wonderful change. And it was because I love our community. I love our film community, our television community, our radio community. I believe that stories change the world. I believe that stories heal the world. And that's what Spokane Media is about, is making sure that the storytellers, the content creators, there is some equal play there, that they can have equal access to financial services within the creative economy, within the gig economy, so those stories can be told and can shape our world. And I'm incredibly passionate about that mission. So
that's incredibly evident. Mm. And we share the same view that stories can change the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they really do, one at a time. And the more that we get to hear them, and from the more voices that are able to be amplified and heard, it really does make a difference in changing frames of reference and in showing us worlds that we didn't even know existed.
Absolutely. Well, when we think about employees, when we as an employee are experiencing some kind of financial strain or stress, we are not fully present at work. I mean, the toll that financial stress plays on our minds, our bodies, our spirits, we cannot bring our creative energies out when we're trying to live day to day, paycheck to paycheck. And that's as a wealth manager, as a financial advisor, you know, that kind of experience with those companies, I saw that. But in working in the credit union space, everybody's day-to-day budget really kind of becomes clear and how important and how we can help workers through those conversations. So if you're healthy financially or you know what the next month is going to look like, you can make way different decisions with your life and you can think creatively with the space that is opened up when that worry goes away or goes down. So it's really important work.
Absolutely. You are doing incredibly important work. And right after the break, we're going to get into your work at the Spokane Media Federal Credit Union. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. Stay tuned. Sounds great.
Hi, this is Toby Radloff, the Genuine Nerd, and you are listening to Rusty's Radio Funhouse right here on KYRS.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for September 25th through the 29th. Monday, Jake Rozier at the Brickwest Plaza and Imagine Jazz at the Bad Seed. Tuesday, Pamela Benton at the Osprey and For the Fallen Dreams, Varsity, Ghost Heart, and Pulling for Victory at the Big Dipper. Wednesday, Big Bad Chad at the Brown Derby, Open Mic at the Checkerboard, Bob Marlowe at the Osprey, Pamela Jean at Zeke's Pizza, Clem Snide at the District, and San Holo at the Knitting Factory. Thursday, the Sharecroppers at McCracken's, the Dave Larson Group at Emmerou's, Wyatt Wood at Arborcrest, Willie Carlisle and Matt Mitchell Music Company at the District, Sleep Token at the Knitting Factory, and Wasted Genius at Zola. Friday, Royal Bliss and Shallow Side at the District, Sole Proprietor at the Highball Speakeasy, Bobby Patterson and the Two Tones at Chan's Red Dragon, and Peter Rivera's Celebrate Symphony at the Myrtle Woolson Performing Arts Center at Gonzaga. For an entire hour of Spokane area musicians, tune into For the Love of the Music every Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
Solidarity Spokane relies on support from listeners like you. $10 will help keep us streaming 24/7 so that you have access to Thin Air Community Radio anywhere that you are. Check out our program schedule at kyrs.org and please support Solidarity Spokane by donating online at kyrs.org or text GIVEKYRS to 44321.
Hi, this is Maeve Griffith from Stage Left Theater. Your radio station, KYRS, actively supports the diversity of the Spokane area, celebrating the many voices that make up our region. Our volunteer-run station hosts a variety of shows that feature otherwise unheard perspectives and opinions. In a sense, KYRS is working against institutional racism, sexism, homophobia, and other forms of oppression simply by existing in opposition to mainstream media. Please make a pledge today by texting GIVE KYRS to 44321. Your support keeps KYRS operating during a time when our community needs free and open media the most.
Welcome back. You're listening to Solidarity Spokane on KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. Before the break, we were talking to Sarah Dahman, CEO and Chief Executive Officer of the Spokane Media Federal Credit Union in Spokane Valley, and we were just talking about her work in the financial industry and kind of how she got her start and where she got going. Now, her present position is with Spokane Media Federal, and in 1938, as America was recovering from the Great Depression, employees of Inland Empire Paper Company out there in the valley founded what is known today as Spokane Media Federal Credit Union. And the original mission of the credit union was to encourage savings and grant members easier access to money for use in emergencies. Now, Sarah, could you tell us a little bit about the beginning of Spokane Media and kind of how it got its start and how you ended up there?
I would love to. And because we have radio listeners, I will show you my show and tell. I actually brought a book. It's called Challenge and Change, Inland Empire Paper Company's First Century.
That's a beautiful
book. It's a beautiful book. And, you know, the paper mill out there, I feel very fortunate to have been able to take tours and see just the incredible machinery and technology that they have that goes into the work that they do today. But as I flip through this book and I look at the pictures, you know, it was around the 1930s. They had been around even to, since then, 30 plus years. But their union members really found that they weren't finding access to the financial services they needed out, you know, with the banks, the traditional banks at the time. And that wasn't uncommon. A lot of labor unions and unionized workers sought out either creating credit credit unions or joining the credit union movement because traditional banks were going through the Great Depression. We talked about the Great Recession in 2008. This was the Great Depression. And I find that era so fascinating. These union workers, they came together. It's kind of the shoebox story. People put in the money, they lend it out to each other, and they pay it back. And so it's a way where they could make those first purchases, whether it's a car to get to work or a new refrigerator, like things that are necessities of the time. And so that they didn't have to have those financial stresses so that they could then do their jobs and then they could continue to thrive in their community as community members and in solidarity with each other for the union too. So I feel very fortunate. My board chair, his grandfather was the first board chair, and they've brought in these, what do you call them when you take a photo, but the old photos where they were on glass plates.
Daguerreotypes?
Yes. Yes. They've been bringing in these, those to make photos for us for our lobby because his grandfather had them in a box somewhere.
Wow.
So there's a lot of history that goes into that. His father worked at the mill. He worked at the mill for a time. And since that time also, I feel really fortunate. Our first manager, they were called managers then, not CEOs. Her name was Twyla Thaw. And we have been women run since 1938 for 85 years. So I get to kind of stand on the shoulders of these wonderful women. There was Twyla, then Dolores Fallis, and then my predecessor, Debbie Kesey, who just retired after 26 years. So we have a lot of legacy built into not only the leadership at the board level, you know, women run from the beginning, but also our team. We have a very small team. There's four of us there at the credit union, and no one besides myself has been there less than 15 years. We're looking at close to 20, 23, and 43. Jamie's been with us 43 years. So we've been around for a long time. Our roots are in labor. We have served, I think most of our membership has represented the traditional forms of media, which has been the newspapers, television, and kind of film production, independent companies like that, which has been wonderful. That's why we changed the name about, oh, I can't remember the year, to media from Inland Empire, was to kind of expand into media at large. So we've been serving those traditional forms of media for a very, very long time, decades.
And so I think it's fantastic, everything from the roots of your organization to how intimate and small you are and to your roots in the local community and its history. I think that's all fantastic. You must have an interesting perspective on the way that media is changing. We in radio feel that very much. My dad worked in radio for about 25 years.
Really?
Until we lost him to cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That is okay. As I wanted to mention that because to any listeners who are listening, please, 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 if you are over the age of 35, do go and get a yearly colonoscopy. Talk to your doctor about it. Preventative medicine is the best kind of medicine. I just wanted to take a brief detour while that was mentioned to please do a plug. My dad did it every day he was on air. And I would very much like for all of our listeners as well, if you're up there, don't put it off. Please don't. Would have had my dad for a lot longer. But radio has seen everything change. I mean, he saw it change from where it was commonplace to turn on your car and listen to your favorite DJ. And then, you know, slowly that's been changing to a more on-demand kind of in your face kind of media where I can just pick this up when I want and I'll use it there. So how have you seen that media landscape changing and how has that played into what you do at the credit union?
It really is shaping the future of the credit union. And I do like to start with the foundation of our credit union from our past because we still have members that have been with us for 20, 30, 40 years. So it's very important as we think of what a credit union is your owners are your members. You represent your members and they're still very much a significant part of why we do what we do every day. So it's not necessarily changing away from that foundation, rather expanding from that foundation into the other areas of media that we just have to go into.
Yes.
And so as you're talking about the radio has changed, things like Spotify, that is completely different where you can choose your shows and listen to them. You don't have to go to, you know, another public radio station for, the Moth Radio Hour. You can just subscribe to the podcast. And so I think in that is the definition. You have a lot of on-demand that is still media. You have people who are making podcasts at every level. I have a friend, he's still going to college. They have a D&D podcast. They film it in their buddy's basement and they would love to monetize it, sure. But it is a passion about creating a new story and kind of building community around a shared art form, which would be D&D in his case. So whether it's kind of a hobbyist kind of media or it is trying to make your full-time income, which would still be the TV stations and all of those, we're there for all of it. And that's where our future is identifying that the creative economy is not only important, it is going to continue to thrive. We believe it's going to continue to thrive. But the creative economy is dependent on a lot of gig workers. I think you mentioned gig workers before. People who moonlight and do something on the side, mm-hmm. whether that's writing a blog or having a podcast or...
YouTubers, TikTokers.
Yes, graphic designers, website creators, people who manage social media. How many people manage social media? They're public relations folks, but they're really, that's how media works now. It's all online. Mm-hmm. Data analytics that goes into how people are engaging with content online, all of that is now in the fabric and definition of what modern media is. So digital media has a really wide breadth. It could be voiceover actors, video game designers. I mean, there's a lot of different spaces where we see media showing up. And so if we think that broadest definition of media is what is the content that shapes our world, that shapes our mind, that is the stories that we are sharing, well, we can have a pretty wide umbrella when we think of it that way. So what we're going through as, you know, an organization is trying to really define that and define that out for our members and our potential members, because I think historically there was a sense, I'm not a staff reporter at the Spokesman Review, so it doesn't count. No, it counts. You count. You're part of our economy. You're creating content. Let's talk. Let's see how you fit into our model, which will be nice because as we kind of go through this next iteration, more and more people can be included. And I think gig workers forget that they are kind of their own labor force. They really are. I mm-hmm. mean, writers you were talking about, they might do it as a side thing. And if there is organization there and a credit union is a way for people to come together in a collaborative way to support each other through a financial institution, just like those mill workers did in 1938, it's just a different kind of industry and it's different kind of work. But I think there's a lot of power in numbers and that's what credit unions can do.
And one of the things we talk about on our show often is reclaiming control of your destiny by controlling, in the first instance, the conditions of your work. Mm. And one of the things that your organization seems to do so well is to give people that kind of autonomy and that voice in their finances, which is the culmination of their work.
Yes.
And the product of what they do.
Yes. And, you know, I always have to say at some point in this disclaimer, my thoughts are my own, not that of my organization. But there is so much information and data to support what credit unions do in different times of financial crisis. And credit unions are known for taking more risks on people. And the reason we can take more risks on people is twofold. One, we don't have shareholders. So there's not a stock price that I have to worry about when we are making decisions to lend to people or, you know, make organizational choices. So we don't have to answer to stockholders. We also are expected to have a deeper relationship with the members that we serve. And so that means we can get into the weeds a little bit more with their story mm-hmm. and do more character-based lending that isn't just by the numbers. Mm. Now, that doesn't mean to say we go by the numbers. We look at credit scores and we look at history, but stories matter. So we can go back and connecting with our members over their stories and figuring out what the right financial solution is for their situation. And I feel really proud about that. So credit unions tend to take more risk in times of financial crisis. And we also are, you know, there for the person's full story, their whole picture. And we can be more competitive. I mean, we can offer better rates. We can offer more returns on savings. We can do those kind of things. So it's nice that we don't have to put the profits first.
I want to ask a question because I'm in this situation. We were talking about this before the show. I want to break up with my bank.
Okay.
I've been.
I have an account, new account form for you.
Okay, we're going to handle that. Okay. We're going to handle that just as soon as the show is over. So that's easily facilitated. But I feel like a ton of people find that to be such a hassle. You have so many points of sale that you are interacting with. Things are going into that. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Breaking up with a bank or breaking up with a gym.
Yeah, well, that's going to take your soul. They're not going to let you do that. And unfortunately, you just live there now.
No, I think most of it is in our heads. You know, yeah. I've experienced a divorce in my life. And I just thought, oh my gosh, going to the DMV and going to the Social Security office, it's going to be. And in the end, it takes maybe an hour or so of my time at each one. I just have to plan it out, right? And I think it's just because we're so busy. It's like, how am I ever going to do that? I think There's two thoughts that come to mind on that. One, the value has to be there, right? If I'm going to make a change, even if I'm with one of the big banks that I know my money is not staying local, mm-hmm. the fees they're charging may be excessive compared to another financial institution.
Perhaps the CEO had to testify before Congress for doing shady things with opening accounts.
We're not naming names, but
that has
Elizabeth
been known
Warren
to
would, but we don't have to. But what it is we have to be uncomfortable to make any kind of change, right? So it either has to be that we're just so upset that that is what we're experiencing, that I'm doing transactions every day and that is the system that I'm feeding into. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to, from a value standpoint, feed into that system anymore. You've got a sign here that says, think globally, listen locally. The way that we spend our dollars locally makes a huge impact locally. And so your listeners already have that value. So it's really saying, I have that value. I'm willing to go through maybe an hour or two to move all of my electronic payments from one set of account numbers to another set of account numbers. Mm-hmm. And I'm willing for that to be messy, you know, for maybe a month while I get everything transferred over. But the cleanest way is just close out the account so there's nowhere for those charges to go. It's also a good opportunity to say, okay, what subscriptions did I forget about? And why am I paying Google $2 a month? You know, so you cancel the account, you cancel all of your transactions, all of those payments are going to get rejected, but it doesn't matter because, you know, they'll tell you, the old bank won't. And then you just start setting them up on auto pay at your new financial institution. So that's
slowly and carefully.
Slowly and carefully, and maybe cancel some subscriptions along the way. I know I did that when I last made my change. So, yeah, it can be more of a head game than it actually is in reality. Opening up accounts online, you can do that. You can come into our branch and fill out a new account form. That's pretty easy. It's just finding the time and the true motivation of why you're doing it.
And you're reclaiming your voice because you're getting the opportunity to take control of your finances and your money and put it in an institution that gives you more of a voice and connects your money to local people and turns you into a person and doesn't really treat you like another vessel for the institution to gain more money and money velocity and increase value for those stockholders so that I can get another CEO bonus like out in New York or wherever that person might happen to live.
Right. We are not for profit. We're for people. And I think, you know, I've done my transactions with banks in the past too, and I just had no idea. I really just had no idea. Mm-hmm. I think there at one point I had fired Bank of America from my life after charging me a whole bunch of fees that it was for like a $2 transaction or something. And then it like became this barrel roll thing. It was on me. I was coming out of college, right? I own that.
Yeah.
But the way that I was treated when I went in to try and, I was already scared enough because, you know, I'm a dumb college kid and, you know, I walk in there and I made this mistake, but it wasn't really a bad one. And I just remember being, this is not a, I'm not going to, oh, shoot, I shouldn't say anything against Bank of America lawyers. That's not what I'm saying. I'm sure the new ones are great.
No.
This was 20 years ago.
Correct.
And I remember having a bad experience with that one person and just not feeling like a person. And no one was going to talk me through it or counsel me through what I needed to do. And so I made a change at that time. And I was really glad that I did because I didn't realize there was another way of banking. I just didn't know.
And we're speaking on Solidarity Spokane today with Sarah Dahman from the Spokane Media Federal Credit Union. And we're going to talk a little bit more about her organization and what they do. And we're talking about reclaiming control of your voice and your monies, your pennies from heaven. And we'll have a little bit more after the break.
Do you wish you could hear real conversations about how our little corner of the Pacific Northwest is making a big splash in our world? Do you enjoy hearing inspiring stories from lesser-known corners of our community, or exploring ideas about how we all can play a role in shaping our reality and creating connections? Or do you just want to take a deeper dive into stories you hear about on the news? Well, if any of those are the case, So Did You Hear is the show for you. I'm Federica Brandy, and I'm bringing you a wide-angle view on our corner of the world with an original talk show featuring conversations with shakers, movers, and shapers who enrich our community on Friday afternoons. Each week, you will hear from guests representing Spokane's diverse social and cultural scene, with stories from activists, social justice organizations, educators, immigrants, artists, and more. You can tune in to
So Did You Hear right wants here. Your brand new car. Well, not really. Yes, indeed, it's a great feeling to finally get another car after the old one's been breaking down over and over. It's another great feeling to get even more use out of an old car. Here's how. Donate it to KYRS. Car donors get a membership, a tax deduction, and the satisfaction of really helping out. Just call toll-free 855-KYRS-CAR. That's 855-597-7227. Honk, honk!
You're listening to Solidarity Spokane, KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. I'm your host, Kat, and I'm here talking with Sarah Dahman from the Spokane Media Federal Credit Union. And just before the break, we were talking about the ways in which credit unions actually empower and enfranchise workers. The story of the Spokane Media Federal Credit Union actually beginning with workers standing together in solidarity in Spokane Valley to have more control and more freedom over their finances, to get necessities and things that they needed that they could not get from traditional financial institutions at the time. And Spokane Media Federal Credit Union is still doing that work here locally. They're a very small group of people that have been there for a very long time, and they're just doing wonderful things, and I'm very, very happy to have her on. Always want to say as a disclaimer that the thoughts and opinions expressed in this show are of individuals and do not necessarily represent the opinions or thoughts of any organization or its board of directors. And after that, which is always nice to talk about and just get out there when we're talking about finances and all that good stuff.
That's so true.
What do you think are some of the challenges that people are facing financially right now that make credit unions a smart choice for them?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think inflation has affected everyone at every level. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you don't want to be the talking head that says gas prices. I mean,
and food prices.
And that's really what the Federal Reserve is trying to do, is fight inflation, and why they're raising interest rates to make things, oddly enough, more expensive so that hopefully spending slows. If spending slows, then prices can get back into a, you know, regulated place. It's really interesting to see how the Federal Reserve policy is kind of being carried out. And if, you know, everybody was talking about it being a big recession, and maybe now it's going to be a light landing recession.
Mm-hmm. Everyone likes to panic.
Everybody likes to panic. And really, you just don't fight the Fed. You know that they have certain metrics that they're going for. They're going to go for the metrics. The market as a whole knows what those things are. They telegraph a lot of what they're going to be doing or decisions they're going to be making to kind of keep the market shocks low. I just say that because there's people talk about, you know, the Fed and the interest rates and all of these things, and that's just garbage to the average person.
Right.
We want to know how much milk costs. We want to know how much it's going to fill our tank of gas, you mm-hmm. know? So I think that the challenges we're having right now is with inflation and then wage deflation, I would say.
Agreed.
Not keeping up with inflation, which is why a program like Solidarity Spokane is so important, is to kind of address, in a, you know, wage issues. And I think every employer feels the pinch too. I mean, there you have a lot of small companies that are being gobbled up by big companies for thinking across the nation. And so employment can be a little bit shaky as small companies go away and get consolidated into larger companies. Larger companies in a capitalist society they profit from efficiencies, which means digitization, fewer workers, maybe even cutting worker benefits. I think that those effects are real on the average American, and particularly our members. So we serve folks in the media, as we were talking about. Ways that we can really serve comes down to taking a second look at an auto loan. You know, if there's an auto loan that somebody has with their dealership and they can come in and get a second look at it, at the very least, we can look at matching rates and terms and things like that, so it's no change. But I know that our members, we have been able to help them. We come take a second look and we can save them, $50 or $100 a month. And that's a real impact that we can make by having better rates compared to, somebody who else that holds the loan. So that's a real nice impact that we can make. We can also kind of look at lending in certain situations where maybe they don't have credit yet, or their credit has been less than stellar, but we have a banking history with them. I always like to say bank where you borrow. So if you bank where you borrow, even if you don't have a credit score, you do have a credit history with that institution. We don't, look at everything you're spending your money on, but we do know how much money goes into an account and out of an account, and that you live within your means and that you've got a buffer. So when there's not a credit score at all, and we've got, people that are launching into their young careers and they need to get a car, a reliable car to get to work, we can help them establish credit, get into a car, and look at their banking history as kind of the substance behind that loan. And I think some of it too is just walking along people in their stories. There's different offers we have of like a skip a pay thing to help out when there's just a little emergency that comes up, or, other things that we can do to meet people where they're at. But even financial coaching, talking to somebody and say, let's look at your budget. Let's look at what you're spending your money on. Let's see if we can be a safe second set of eyes for you to maybe help you do what you're just too afraid to do, which is look at the numbers. Mm-hmm. I mean, half the time it's just, coming out of the pandemic, I finally had to do it for myself. And when I realized how much money I had spent on Uber Eats, I was like, oh, but I was too afraid to look, right? And so just taking a look and saying, okay, maybe we cut out the Uber Eats. Maybe that's the thing that goes.
And even when in moments of stress, when something goes wrong in your house or on your car or something like that happens, the last thing you want to do after those instances is open up that bank account.
Oh my gosh.
It can be the most painful and excruciating thing. You just got to go rip the Band-Aid off. Rip the Band-Aid off. Just look at it.
But the first thing you should do is call your lender if you're going to be late on a payment too. And I would just say that across the board. I think the one thing people are afraid to do is just pick up the phone and say, I cannot make this payment, because they're afraid the person on the other end is going to be corporate America saying, you loser, why can't you make your payment? Mm-hmm. Thankfully, with our organization, the person that's picking up the phone is the person that wrote your loan, that knows you, that knows your story, and then is willing to talk to you and isn't there to yell at you over the phone and make you feel like you're a terrible person.
And has roots here.
How do we figure this out with you? Thank you for calling us and letting us know so we don't have to hound you. Mm-hmm. Don't ghost your lender. That's the one thing. Just don't ghost your lender, no matter how scared you are.
Ghost your bad dates, not your lender.
That's right.
Never your lender.
Never your lender.
And I should say too, on Solidarity Spokane, don't do that to your dates.
Yeah. That's
have a good adult conversation with them. Just say, hey, that was fun, but maybe not.
Maybe one time thing. Yeah. Boundaries are good.
Boundaries are good. Mm-hmm. Communication is also good.
Communication is also good. Well, and I will say too, I'm talking for our members, but we're a closed segment, right? So we have a certain part of the community that we serve. And if you're not in that segment of the community, I would encourage everybody to look at the amazing credit unions that we have here in our area. And one thing that I think credit unions do, another thing that I think is different than banks, is we have a very collaborative spirit. I just went to a weekend conference, and we had 60 CEOs of other credit unions just like ours there. And we were talking about best practices. We were sharing all of the good ideas behind the scenes. We were there for emotional support. We were there for intellectual support. And we have a lot of forums and things as credit unions. We can't collude, right? We can't coordinate, but the credit union industry is so cooperative. A good example of that is we do an International Credit Union Day, and all of the credit unions come together and do something impactful in our community, not because we have to, but because we believe that we're here for the community good. So this year, our International Credit Union Day is for the benefit of Thrive, which is an organization that serves refugees in our area. Last year, it was Habitat for Humanity. We raise a bunch of money and we donate a bunch of volunteer hours, and we have people leaving their credit unions to work all together for one big effort. And so there's just something about being part of a collective. Even the credit unions believe that we're part of a collective and we come together to work together too.
I love that. I mean, everything that you have told us about your organization and the organizations of credit unions in general just speak to it speaks to a togetherness that seems like it should not exist in the financial market or the financial sector, you know?
I never saw it anywhere else. And that's not to discredit the great things I believe I've done in my career with good people who were in the financial services on the for-profit side serving their customers. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to discredit all of that good work. I'm just saying that I am finding it profound and very unique. And it should be something that everybody knows about, just because we should be educated when we're making our decisions with our money, how we want to do our banking, how we want to, where we do our buying. All of those things is just knowing your choices, knowing your options. So because I'm learning all of this and very inspired by seeing how it works, I really want everybody else to know about it too.
And as do I. As do I, because it's very clear from speaking to you for even 5 minutes how passionate you are about your organization and about the good work that they're doing. And we're very happy to have that conversation. Absolutely.
Thank you.
In your time working in finance, in the financial sector, what are some of the things that you think people fall into? Are there common pitfalls, or are there, is there anything that your experience has taught you to look out for, or things that you wish could maybe be a little different? Not speaking about Spokane Media Federal Credit Union or anything else, but just finances in general and broadly speaking. I mean,
yeah,
anything that you
think. Yeah, that's a really good point. I think some of the things I've learned is to know how the person you're working with gets paid. So if you're working with a registered investment advisor, they're managing your money, it's usually a percentage of assets under management, say 1%. So you've got $100,000 with them and they're charging you 1%, you know, that's going to be a specific amount. If you make more money, their 1% is going to go up. They make a little more. If you lose money, their 1% is going to go down. They're going to make a little less. And so, if a financial advisor makes money that way. If you're working with somebody who's a broker, they make a commission. So they might, on that $100,000 you invest with them, charge 5%. So you pay the 5% up front, but gosh, you know, if you hold that investment for over 5 years, you're only paying maybe 0.25%. So if you're holding it for 15 years, you only pay 1% per year compared to the advisor on the first 5 years. On the flip side, if you need to change your investments around, if you're close to retirement, if you need a lot of financial planning, you might need a financial advisor. So there's not one that's bad or good. It's just understanding how people get paid, and how people get paid is very different, and they look the same. I think they can look, we can look the same. And so it's just being able to say, well, so how do you get paid?
You know, and having that conversation.
Explain to me how to be managing. And nobody should ever be offended by telling you how they get paid. You know, like, we make money off of fees, or if people are going to invest a CD with us, for example, we take that CD, we pay them what we strive for is a competitive rate on their investment. And then if we have the ability to invest the difference, we'll invest it at a higher rate. Mm-hmm. And there is a difference, right? Like, I don't know if people know that, but the reality is we try and make that spread low enough that it covers our operational cost. Mm-hmm. And we're not trying to make a ton of money off someone else's investment.
Right.
So know the psychology of the person you're working with, or how these things work. So fees, junk fees are a very big thing for Joe Biden right now. Understanding how fees are charged. Like, we don't charge an NSF fee. Somebody gives you a check. and it's a bad check. You deposit it into the account with us, you think it's a good check, it bounces, right? Ask your bank, ask your credit union, do you charge me a fee if somebody else gives me a bad check? And is that right? Because I accepted it in good faith. Like, right. I didn't know that they didn't have money in their bank account.
And I've been here for a long time.
Why am I getting charged $30? So know how fees work. Know what fees you are being charged, because not every financial institution charges those fees. And they add up. The other thing is really stay away from payday lenders. Avoid them. I would say that very definitively. Pay attention to your interest rate on your credit cards. So shop around for credit cards. People have an emotional attachment to the first organization that gives them a credit card, which is why you see a ton of credit card companies show up on college campuses, because the first one you get, like, they believed in me. You'll stay with them forever, even though they're charging you maybe 22, 25, 28% compared to someone that could be 15, 16 or lower. Mm-hmm. So don't stay loyal to...
We have about 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
30 seconds. Oh, gosh. Sorry, I got to do that thing and cut you off.
And many financial institutions offer financial education, and there's a lot of financial education for free. So if you need to know more, reach out, because there is information there. I had people teach me about money, and I came from nothing. Everybody can do it.
Wise words. And I'm very, very grateful to have had you on the show today, Sarah. This is Solidarity Spokane, KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. I've been your host, Kat. We've been talking with Sarah Dahman from the Spokane Media Federal Credit Union in Spokane Valley. More information can be found at smfcu.org. Thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We'll see you next week, guys.
Get down the block.
Program was pre-recorded.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
This has been a long and incredible haul, and may this deal be done. We have worked hard. The